Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch.
David.
Before we get into our stuff, I want to talk about AI.
Okay.
We have talked about it quite a bit on the show.
Yeah, I was on a podcast yesterday about it, actually.
You were?
Uh-huh.
You're on a podcast without me?
Uh-huh.
You fucking traitor. Did you get paid?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, so no is the answer to that question. I kept hearing, and I don't believe this, and after my research, I don't believe it, but they're talking about massive job loss, okay? And it's what scares me the most about AI.
Yes.
Okay. They were talking 50% unemployment rate by 27. Like, it's all over social media, everywhere. It's not true.
Right.
Like, none of that's true. But what is true is in the first half of 25, 80,000 jobs were lost to AI only.
Yeah.
And they're talking in by 27. I took some notes here today. You'd be proud of me. Direct reporting, this is 26. Direct reporting, 54,000 to 78,000 jobs.
Yep.
Indirect, they're talking 200,000 to 300,000. Jobs already lost. I got this off the ITIF website, challengegray.com, Reuters. Mm-hmm. And they're talking in 27, realistically, 83 million jobs displaced. And they're hoping that 69 million jobs will be created because of AI, right? So it's still a net loss.
Yep.
And those jobs are going to be basically at half those people's pay range.
Mm-hmm.
Does this all make sense to you so far?
Yeah.
What in the fuck? Like, we talk about it on the show from the perspective of we're blue-collar workers. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't going to lose their jobs to AI. If they do, all of us will be probably fucking retired or dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a big deal. We're not going to lose our jobs. What fucking scares the shit out of me is the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Is people losing their jobs, then losing their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big, what people are saying is, oh, well, the market will be exponentially greater because people can cut costs and make more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if those companies require sales of any kind from people that have jobs, and those people don't have jobs, they don't have money.
Mm-hmm.
The economy is a cycle of exchanged money. If people don't have jobs, they can't pay their rent, they can't live in their homes, they can't buy cars, they can't go to Walmart and spend $200 on nothing.
Right.
Are you at all worried that literally we're about to have a great fucking reset and it's going to be a shit show? I am not a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm.
I am not a doom and gloom. I'm a pessimist, yeah. But I'm not a doom and gloom, oh, the world's going to fucking end. Dude, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. You got 50 million people out of work all of a sudden in a year and a half span.
I'm texting you.
That is the sign or the start of economic collapse. Like, the United States and UK roll at like a 4 to 4.5, 4.8% unemployment rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if that thing gets up to like 10 and 15%,
so
we are fucked.
Elon Musk already has a solution for this.
We talked about this a little on the show the other day, and I looked into it, and I don't buy it.
I just texted you where I heard him talking about this was on Rogan, and the topic came up of like universal basic income, which is basically socialism.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk has like a modification for that. It's Joe Rogan's show 2404. Elon Musk is basically taking a version of universal basic income, but he finds ways to get these people to still contribute to society in a way to where like the nation grabs a hold of AI and the nation becomes a leader of AI. So the nation's government now profits from AI dramatically, not through individuals, but through
taxing corporations,
through the through the government side of things. And then you create a situation for universal high income. And it's like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of things to work out with it. But yeah, he basically talks about how the government starts profiting from AI and then it in turn covers its budget and takes care of its people.
The government is so inefficient and takes so long to get things done.
We're talking
a year and a half from now. You think that shit's going to happen?
No, I don't think it's going to happen. But
the way the government plays things is it's already a shitstorm. We're already fucked. And then they kind of try to come in and save it.
Yeah.
And they make it worse, like writing the pandemic checks that caused the massive amounts of inflation that set us back 5, 6, 7 years.
The government will not come up with this solution. This solution will be come up with a private individual like Musk or somebody else, and then it'll get sold to the government is how that's going to happen.
Well, that's how almost everything happens. People just don't realize it.
Yeah.
Man, it scares me to death. And I told Charles Nielsen, one of our members, maybe one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life.
Yep.
Super smart. Him and I were talking about it, and I told him kind of the same thing. I said, Charles, you know what my greatest fear is? My greatest fear is I've worked really hard all my life. I mean, fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
First job at 14. I'm 44 now. I mean, I have just given it everything I got, right? All my money's in the market. All of it. I shouldn't say all of it. A vast majority of it is.
Time to buy land.
That thing fucking crashes. Like, in 08, when people were killing themselves, I'm not going to kill myself. That's not what I'm saying. But I might be on a fucking water tower somewhere.
Yeah.
You know? Like, dude, I am, like, nothing will discourage people from buying in, like, their life's work being taken from them.
Right. Well, you just got to put it in the right spots on the market, right?
What's the right spot?
You would just start NVIDIA? Investing in AI stuff and...
That's what's funny too. So I was doing this research too, and everyone's like, oh, the AI bubble inside the market's about to pop. All those AI startups are going to be gone. Like, and there's going to be a little bit. Like, so what do you do? You know?
It's not going to pop.
Well, by pop, they mean all of those little ones are going to be swallowed up by the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And so if you have money in with those businesses, that money's evaporated in no man's land.
It doesn't evaporate. Well, they got to buy you out.
By swallowing up, I don't mean them buying those businesses. I mean those businesses going out of business because they just can't compete.
Oh, yeah.
Not
drowning
necessarily.
Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I probably poor choice of words on my part.
Yeah.
But like, dude, it is.
But that's life.
I know it's life.
It's this is just the problem we have today, right?
I know.
Back in the dot-com bubble, that was the problem they had back then. What happens when this dot-com bubble pops? Like, life goes on. You just got to...
Yeah, but the dot-com bubble didn't put 15 million people out of work.
No, other than the post office.
Like, that wasn't coming anyway.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, email about killed the post office, right? Amazon about killed the post office. And then Amazon's about the only thing that keeps the post office afloat now.
Yeah,
because the post office does deliveries for Amazon.
You see, the last month they laid off 60,000 people.
Yeah.
And those were all jobs that are now going to be run by robotics, not robots.
Yesterday,
and AI.
Yesterday, 175,000 people in our area are now in range of Amazon drone delivery. So, you take like an Amazon delivery driver, his job's at risk from autonomous vehicles, from drone deliveries, from robotic.
Yeah.
Rover deliveries, which by the way, I saw one of them little robotic rover as a video of this little robotic rover. It goes under the crossing guard of a train track.
Oh, shit.
It's down and it's bobbling over the train tracks.
Just it got crushed.
Got hit by an Amtrak train at like 70 miles an hour. Just Timmy, your AirPods aren't going to make it.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, like if I lived in a subdivision like yours, I would have a 22 with a silencer on it.
Yeah.
And I'd be shooting it from inside my house, and I'd be taking down drones. Those little, I like, I would just.
You can't shoot a rifle into the air, Dave. What goes up must come down.
410 with a silencer, fine, whatever. Yeah,
that 22 round goes up, and my surprise package delivery comes
Dude,
down.
I'm telling you.
It's like target practice with prizes.
Yeah, I would just, it'd be a lot of fun.
I guarantee you Amazon has very good geolocation on all that, and they know where that shit's going if it gets does get shot down.
That's okay.
So
they got to prove it.
Somebody, where was it at? Where was it at?
You know, I was really hoping that you'd make me feel better about the AI thing.
Your
answer is, sorry, we're probably fucked. You're right.
There is a lot, like.
That's not good.
I don't want to stereotype, but this is the easiest way to describe it.
Now, here we go.
The employees of the world that are at the Walmart employee level.
Okay.
Those employees are the most at risk.
I know.
Right. And so
I'm not.
You got to elevate your skill set to stay above it.
I'm not. It doesn't matter who's at risk. If a huge chunk of money is taken out of circulation and mm-hmm. people can't afford things.
Yeah. Everything goes crazy.
It's the domino. Like, it's the first domino to fall.
Yeah. You just got to stay insulated. That's all.
I don't think I can. I don't think we can, is my
point.
There's
other places to put your money other than the stock market.
Well, you're right, but I'm not pulling it out and giving $400,000 or whatever the fuck it would be to the government and starting over. Like, I might as well just fucking eat the loss.
Yeah, you'd probably find a way to work it into a 1031 exchange, or you invest in land-type funds, not business-type funds.
All REITs.
REITs,
I can't remember what it is.
You find a way to invest in land, right? Mm. Because, like, look what's happening in Independence right down the road from us. They're trying to put in that data center and that AI data center. And it's got every liberal white female all up in arms acting like it's going to kill the water supply and it's going to kill the power grid. And
it is going to hurt the power grid.
Dude,
IPL, they switched from coal to natural gas, which mm-hmm. was great. Like, they can make a ton of power, mm-hmm. but they aren't going to have enough to run that fucking plant.
No, but the amount of power that plant's going to have to purchase would fund the improvements needed to the plant to power it.
Yeah.
Like,
but that business isn't going to say, okay, we're just not raising anyone's rate. Like, they could literally get it on 100% funded and still say, oh, we're going to need to raise everyone's rate and then use that plant as the excuse. They will. Just business 101.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's one of the weird things, like, causation and correlation do not go hand in hand, right?
No.
In other words, energy rates go up every year. So,
man, the last 3 years have been brutal.
Like, water rates go up every year, right?
Yeah.
But just because the city puts in a water park doesn't mean that's why your rates went up. Your rates were going up anyway, right? Cost of healthcare goes up every year. But you put a Republican in office and they act like he's the reason the cost of healthcare went up. And you put a Democrat in office and they act like he's the reason the cost of healthcare went up. And it's like, no, some of this shit just happens. And now a word from our sponsors. Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it's got everything you need all in one platform. It's got advanced features to run your CRM, your estimates and invoices, your scheduling and dispatching. It'll provide good, better, best proposals. It'll provide maintenance plans, and it'll even incorporate the Tradewinds price book. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing how you work. By simplifying the day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time and keeps your team organized and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just us saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com.
Field Pulse.
Field Pulse.
Well, yes, I get your point. And I'm not against an AI plant going in. I don't care. I'm just saying big business uses that as an excuse. Instead of raising your rate $10, they're raising it $12.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So your rate will go up because of that, but not solely because of that.
Right. That's why I don't mind that the Chiefs stadium's moving over to Kansas.
Oh, I give no fucks.
We saved 0.375 sales tax on it.
We talked about this before. Like, yeah. If you didn't see that coming for the last 5 years, your head's been in the sand.
Yeah.
Like, the place that it's at now is a dump.
Right.
I saw a thing the other day. It's probably complete bullshit. But they brought the rolling roof thing back to Arrowhead and Kaufman. And they're like, hey, what if we just did this?
I saw a proposal yesterday where they're trying to convince Kansas City to put in a bid to become an expansion team or expansion area for Banana Ball and turn Kaufman into a Banana Ball stadium.
I'm not 100% sold that they're leaving Kaufman either.
I'm not either. So
the problem with the Royals, and we'll wrap up the AI and move on, but the problem with the Royals is right now they suck.
Yeah.
Like, they missed playoffs last year, the year before they made it, but they hadn't made it since 15. You know what I mean? So they don't have a lot of leverage right now. The Chiefs have a ton of leverage.
Yeah.
Which is funny as shit, because you know what's going to happen. They're going to move over there.
And then they're going to drop.
Mahomes is going to retire, and it's going to be just like the Colts when Manning retired. He built that giant stadium for him just by winning, right? And then he leaves, and it's a dumpster fire. And that's exactly what's going to happen to Kansas, and those guys are going to be like, God damn it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals stay.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's no different than anything, right? The Super Bowl tickets are outrageously priced.
Dude, $4,000.
Is what it is, yeah.
For like, a fucking nosebleed the other day I saw.
Right. And so, like, most, I'm willing to bet that 95% of the Super Bowl tickets were bought through a business of some kind. Like, you're not buying those unless you can write it off in some way.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
So.
Anyways.
Speaking of Super Bowl, do you give two shits about the halftime show?
No.
I don't either. Like, I don't under... Every year, the halftime show's controversy. She was gyrating her crotch. That's a poor image for my young daughter to watch. And it's like, bitch, there's cheerleaders on the sides that are, like, gyrating their crotches all game.
I think that...
No matter what artist they pick... Yeah. They always go way, like, they make it political and they go way too far into that is the wrong art audience or wrong artist for this demographic or whatever. And it's like to me, the Super Bowl is on the world stage. It's not an America, like a United States thing.
Well, first off, yes, it is.
I mean, it's only played in the United States, but the publication of the Super Bowl is watched all over the world.
I do think that there should be American artists in it.
Yeah.
Just because it is America's game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't care that Bad Bunny was in there.
No, I don't
give. I will say this. He sucks. I don't like his music. I think it's great that they had an alternative, and I'm surprised no one has thought of that before.
Oh, no, they've had alternatives for years.
Well, I'm not talking Puppy Bowl. I'm talking like a full-blown...
1992 in Living Color. They had an alternative, like a... kind of an R&B, rhythm and blues, jazz, rap, Super Bowl halftime show.
That's fantastic.
It was badass, right?
Yeah, but you're talking 1992. And it wasn't on a big platform as compared to, like, the last one was, right?
Yeah.
What it made me think about, like, everyone wants to say, oh, well, everyone that turns off of Bad Bunny, they're racist. They just don't want to watch him because he's a... First off...
That's people choosing to find things to get offended about.
If there would have been a better one when Katy Perry did it, I'd have switched. Katy Perry fucking sucks.
I didn't like Katy Perry.
It has nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
Dude, I would have not switched for the Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem one.
No.
I wouldn't have switched.
I don't like Lamar Kendrick, but his halftime show was pretty badass.
I
didn't expect it to be going into it.
I probably would have switched, but that's just because I don't like that kind of music. It has nothing to do with who's doing the fucking music.
Right.
Their skin color is. I don't give a fuck.
To me, like, trying to cast off something because of one small facet of it is like, I never go to that restaurant because they serve okra, and I don't like okra. And it's like, the Super Bowl is an 8-hour event.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah.
You're telling me that there's 15 minutes of that event you don't like and you're going to try to use that as the reason you don't watch the whole thing or whatever. Like, it's just dumb. Like,
it is dumb. Like I switched over. I watched the other one.
Yeah.
Because I don't, that music sucks to me. I don't like it. But it has nothing to do with Bad Bunny's not a white guy from America.
Right.
Like, I just don't like it. I don't like Katy Perry. She sucks too.
It's just weird on how people try to, like, every year the Super Bowl causes mass division. It's crazy.
It's not.
They could have Justin Timberlake and Janet Jackson up there again and be like, oh, no, here comes Tittygate 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right. We've talked about this a ton, and I've seen you post a lot about it lately, about people are just looking for something to be
offended
about.
By. Yeah.
I want to be offended about this. I'm offended about this. Dude, if you're offended, fucking move on.
Yeah.
No one's making you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to watch the Bad Bunny thing and there wasn't the alternative, just turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, if Metallica's on there and you didn't like the Metallica one, then turn it off. Red Hot Chili Peppers did it one year. If you don't like Red Hot Chili Peppers, turn it off. No one's making you fucking no one's holding your eyeballs open like, watch this.
You know what I don't like watching when I watch football? I don't like watching the interviews with the coaches going in or coming out of the tunnel at halftime. It's the same fucking thing every day. What do you got to do in the second half? Oh, I got to make some adjustments here. We got to do better here. Got to stop the penalties. Like,
yeah, you're not turning it off.
You get the same cardboard answer from every fucking coach out there.
I know. It's
like,
dumb.
It's like the one dumbass news reporter that was I don't know. She interviewed, it was either a player or a coach for one of the Super Bowl teams, and asked him if it was a must-win game.
Oh, my God. Like, Rich, take that girl's microphone.
Oh, my God. Right?
It's just dumb. And I say this a lot. I want to get off social media completely, but I can't right now.
Right.
Because of my job, right? But I want to be off there. I see, like, today I saw four things that were, they're still, if you can't handle Bad Bunny having the halftime show, you're part of the problem and you're a racist. All that is clickbait.
Yeah.
Like,
rage bait.
Why is that even on there?
Yeah.
Why? You're telling me you don't have fucking better shit to do?
Yeah. I love the whole open-ended, like the open letters of, if this offends you, then just unfollow me now. Like,
I unfollow him because it's a stupid fucking thing to post, and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you're a moron. It has nothing to do with whatever it is you're telling me to unfollow.
What happened to being able to agree to disagree?
Yeah.
Hey, you like the show? Cool. I didn't. Cool.
Dude, I had a fucking,
still a good game.
I had a fucking argument with a guy the other day. It wasn't really an argument. It was just a discussion. Super liberal guy, and like, just constantly is not even putting their own thoughts out there, but just, you know, reposting whatever and this and that and blah, blah. And then I called him out. I said, hey, dude, I said, I don't care what you believe. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. I said, but every time you post this stuff on here, you get like one like, no comments, no shares, no nothing. Like, what's your end game here? Like, you're not trying to be productive. You're not trying to change anyone's mind.
Right.
I've looked at your friend list, and like, this is someone I know well. They're all liberals just like you. So it's just a little fucking echo chamber that you guys are just being mad inside. You're not actually trying to reach outside of that and, hey, this is why I feel this way, or this is what I actually think.
Yep.
What's the point? And we went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Like, I got no answers.
Yeah.
Didn't understand. He didn't understand why. Didn't understand what I was trying to get out of him. Well, you're just mad about it. I'm like, no, dude, I'm not mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to tell you that this is not benefiting anyone.
Yeah.
All you're doing is stirring up shit for your own quote-unquote base.
Yeah, for your own satisfaction.
I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. I said, start putting some original content out there. I said, if you want real change, I said, start a podcast.
Yeah.
Start doing Facebook Lives and having, you know, but the thing is, like, those type of people, like, they'll go through, and I'm surprised that I'm still friends with them on Facebook, quote-unquote, because, like, I post shit that's outside of their viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people that will, oh, Mitch is a conservative. Unfollow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how are you supposed to learn anything?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to have these quote-unquote conversations that all of you want to have?
It's kind of hard to have civil discourse with people that you only agree with.
Yeah. Like, what is the point of that?
Yeah.
Like, how can you...
It's like the people that would want the government to be 100% Democratic or 100% Republican. That scares the fucking shit out of me.
Dude, you know what I want the most? And I don't care which way it goes. I really don't. I love that Trump's president right now.
Right.
But if Trump is president and the Senate is Republican and the House is Democrat, the economy grows at a slow, steady pace because they can't get any new shit passed.
Yep.
And it's the one way that the market and, like, I don't just mean the stock market, mm-hmm. the housing market, everything can just be steady and just grow on its own. And you know, that will hardly ever retract.
You know what would be pretty wild?
I love it.
Is if you tried to get it to where if you were running for president, you had to have a vice president from the other party. In other words, force collaboration from the very fucking top.
God.
That can you imagine like Ron DeSantis and Bernie Sanders running together? Like it would work. But it would also send the message of we're here to collaborate, which is the impression that we all think our government used to be that way. And now it's just political warfare from one party to the other. But
I'm writing that down. I'm going to make it short about that. That's good stuff.
Speaking of, I'll get there. Social media.
Fucking social media.
So I'm going to tell a story here about a call that we ran last week. And
a plumbing service call. Okay, yep. Plumbing.
And so 3 or 4 years ago, we did work for this real estate agent herself at her personal home here in Blue Springs.
Was it nice or a dump? This is for me only.
Yeah, okay. It was nice. And she left us a 5-star review, glowing 5-star review. And, you know, checked, you know, promptness, price, everything's good, all this stuff. Well, last week, completely unrelated, actually 2 weeks ago, we scheduled a call for a real estate agent that's trying to sell a house and they need to get it de-winterized. It had been winterized because it was vacant over the winter. And she's like, I'm setting all this up, but my buyer is paying the bill. Okay, well, as long as your buyer's available to pay the bill when we're done, because it's payment due upon completion, that's fine. She's like, yeah, we'll get him on the phone. We'll call. We'll just get it paid. Cool.
First off, red flag number one, but you had done work for this person.
No.
So
no, this is a different real estate agent.
Oh.
Different real estate agent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad I clarified.
Completely unrelated.
Okay.
And so then she ends up having to cancel that call because schedules couldn't line up or whatever. So she calls up and gets it back on the schedule for last week. And I think she called in Wednesday. We ran the call Thursday. And we remind her again, we have that $89 service charge. That's in addition to any work performed. And she says, well, what's this going to cost? And we said, we can't give you a price for that over the phone. We don't know what we're dealing with. We'll have to get out there and take a look at it. And
she goes, you're talking a whole home.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And who knows how it was winterized, right?
What if half the shit's broken?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. What if.
The winterization sucked.
Yeah. What if they didn't let all the water out and it froze and broke, right?
Yeah.
What if they.
Didn't put antifreeze in all the toilets and the toilets are cracked. Yeah.
Right. And so we get out there. My guy gives him a price of $500 or $600 to de-winterize the home. And she says, this other real estate agent, she was like, that's crazy. That's insane. We're not paying that. And keep in mind, this other real estate agent's husband is a handyman. Didn't call him. Called a plumber. Okay?
Okay.
But
she wasn't paying for it. Let's be honest.
Yeah. And so we said, well, that's fine. You know, you don't have to do that, but we do need to collect the $89 service charge. And the way she set this call up, the call is in her buyer's name, and it's got the address of the house her buyer is buying. But everything else is her information, her phone number. We do have a buyer's email address, but we have no way to contact the buyer. And the buyer never authorized the work. She did.
Oh, the she buyer, didn't actually...
Well,
call the buyer and tell
her. She may have. I don't know. But our authorization was from her. Okay? We've never spoken to this buyer. Don't even know if the buyer's a man or a woman. So we say, that's fine. You just got to pay the service charge. She goes, no, we're not even paying the service charge. You guys should have given me a price for this over the phone. This is crazy.
We told you we couldn't do it over the phone.
Yeah, and we're like, ma'am, the service charge happens regardless. It's just what we do. And she ended up kicking our plumber out of the house saying, no, we're not paying the service charge. So we try to call her from the office. No answer. Try to call 3 times. No answers, no nothing. FU button, straight to voicemail. Leave 3 voicemails. No response, no nothing.
Fucking Karens, man.
Text them. This is the office. You need to call us to pay the $89 charge. No response, no nothing. All right. Let's see how this is going. So Friday.
Okay. I'm intrigued now.
Danielle's like, what should I do? I said, put them on blast on Facebook. Like, we don't play around with this crap. And it's $89. It's not even a large sum of money. But
it's the point.
The tradesmen that listen to this show will understand that real estate agents are one of the biggest pain in the asses we ever have to deal with. And real estate agents don't understand this because they're condescending and close-minded and egotistical. But
not all of them.
Okay, 99%.
I was going to give you like 80.
I could name you three real estate agents that don't fall into this. And I could name you 97 that do. But these real estate agents don't understand that they are not helping their customer at all by getting in the middle of all this. If they were smart, they would say, hey, I like this plumber. I trust this plumber. I've used them a lot. My customers like them. Call this plumber and get it set up. And if you need me to meet them over at the house to let them in, I can do that, right?
Yeah.
Just let me know when you're setting it up and I'll make it happen. Like, that's how you take care of your customer. You don't say, let me set it up for you. And then, okay, let me make sure my customer's okay with that service fee. And then you call the customer back. Are you okay with the service fee? Okay, they're okay with the service fee. And then you call the company back. Okay, my guy's okay with the service fee. Go ahead and come out. Okay, who's going to pay the service fee? Oh, hold on. Let me call back. Like, they put themselves in this game of telephone.
Well, it's because they're used to the game of telephone, 24/7, 365.
What I think it is because they know that they don't really provide enough value for their badass commission they get on selling a house. And so they are trying to find ways to...
They're trying to manufacture value.
Create value.
Yeah, they're manufacturing value.
And really...
And it's not real value.
No. And the value comes from your connection, and the value comes from how easy you make it work.
Yeah.
Not from putting yourself in the middle of it, right? Like, business owners become their own bottleneck of their own business whenever they don't want to relinquish control. They don't make work easy in their business because they micromanage everything, right? The moment that business owner steps back and says, I'm going to let this employee talk to this employee directly, and they're just going to figure it out, now the business owner removes themselves from the bottleneck, right?
Yeah.
Real estate agents should do the same thing. But
they're insecure.
Anyway, she doesn't do that. And so Danielle makes Facebook posts and tags her realty group that she works for.
What's it say?
It's already archived, but it's yada yada real estate agent with yada 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 group doesn't pay their bills.
They've stiffed us for blah blah blah.
Yeah, they've stiffed us for $89, and if they're willing to stiff us for under $100, what are they willing to do for you on your house that's worth hundreds of thousands? Is all she said. And contractor after contractor, and Danielle tags me in it, so it gets some extra mileage because my following's considerably bigger than hers.
Yeah.
And so contractor after contractor gets on there and, you know, fuck real estate agents. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, dude. Play that game. They're horrible, like, man.
Right? So one real estate agent, okay, bring to the beginning of this story, 3-4 years ago when we worked in this agent's house here in Blue Springs, that woman.
Gives you 5-star review, glowing.
Gave us a 5-star review 3 years ago. Yeah, okay. She jumps onto the comments of this post and she says, you guys are so wrong for doing this. You need to take this post down. She's my friend.
I don't give a fuck.
Wait, you're chastising us for putting your friend on blast for not paying your bills? You're not chastising your friend for not paying her bills?
Like, if that real estate agent knows you, like, yeah, why wouldn't she call her friend and be like, dude, why didn't you pay the $89?
Right.
It's
right.
Like,
and so then the real estate agent that was tagged in it never replied, never messaged, never texted, never emailed, never called, never nothing. Just removes her tag from the post.
I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can remove your tags.
Huh.
If you've been tagged, like, nobody has ever needed to be tagged with 99 others, right? But yeah, you just remove that. Or you turn on tag approval to where
you won't
get tagged until you're approved. But anyway.
If you don't have haters, you're not doing anything important.
Right. And so, there was another opportunity for that real estate agent to come in and explain the situation. Like, did she get in a car wreck after she left? And that's why she didn't, like, who knows, right? We know nothing because all communication stopped. And so the local real estate agent, the one from here in Blue Springs, our prior customer, you know, she makes that comment and a whole bunch of people start replying to her like, sis, you are not right. Like,
yeah,
call your friend, have your friend pay your fucking bill. Like,
yeah,
I don't condone Smedley at all for putting them on blast and all this. And I had some entrepreneur friends, one in particular, say, come on, guys, you're better than this. It's only $90. Take it and move on.
And, no, I'm not, bitch.
And I mean, I will agree. Yes, you are right. It is only $90. Take it and move on. You're right. However,
yeah, but it's not like it costs you money to make that post to try to get your $89.
It doesn't cost me money to make that post, and we don't do that every time anybody owes us money. We do that when it's certain niches to where the benefit of doing that far outweighs the $90. Okay? So in other words, when I told Danielle to put her on blast on Facebook, I knew it was going to blow up into something. I knew that a group of shithead real estate agents
are
going to see this, and they're never going to call us again for work, and that was the outcome I was hoping for.
Well, it's right? Just, it's not what you're hoping for, but that's just a bonus.
Well.
Like, that's just like, okay, yeah, let's make it a win.
Yeah, cool. And so, you know, she gets flamed up by a whole bunch of other people, and then I comment on it, and I'm like, hey, since she's your friend, can you get us in touch with her to pay up her bills, or do you want to pay the bill?
Yeah.
She texts me privately, and she says, I'll pay the bill if you take the post down. And I said, well, the post is staying up until the bill's paid.
Yeah, when the bill's paid, I'll take it
but
down.
But I got to say, this is pretty shysterish that, like, I don't know why you're jumping to her rescue. She's the one not paying the bill, right?
Yeah. What'd she say to that? I mean, I'm just curious.
I could read you the text. I got receipts.
I mean, maybe she just didn't have it. But if you don't have it, you could, I mean, at least say, I don't have it. Like, we got to work out something.
She says, hey, so-and-so is my friend. Can you take the post down? I will pay. And I said, we'll take it down when the bill gets paid. I don't want anybody to think that we're angry or that we made the post out of emotion, but realtors have developed quite a stereotype with tradespeople, and unfortunately, this one fits the stereotype perfectly. We were very clear that we charge an $89 service charge to book the service call, and when we arrived and she declined to pay that $89 service charge. Unfortunately, lots of realtors seem to use tradespeople at their disposal and they don't pay the bill, thinking the tradesperson's never going to come after them for $90. It's not worth the court date, right?
Yeah.
So I said, this post has far less to do with the $89 and far more to do with warning other local tradespeople that this is one of those realtors that makes promises but doesn't deliver.
Yeah.
She immediately
replied. Facebook is open court now.
Yeah.
Essentially.
She immediately replied and she says, I have a client that owes me $10,000, but I have way more class than to post about it.
Well, then I guess you ain't getting your 10 grand, bitch.
Maybe.
Like,
but also, too, what I replied. I said, what's not classy? Somebody stealing $89 from us or us calling them out for it?
Yeah.
Right?
I'd say both.
I said, I'm sorry if this is your friend, but your friend right now is in the process of stealing $89 from us.
Yeah.
It's theft of services.
Well, that's
what
the thing. Real estate agents fall into the group of people that undervalue trades-based businesses.
Yep.
And not just plumbers, HVAC, electricians, whatever.
Yep.
You know, like doctors. Oh, well, I'm a doctor. It took me this long to make that kind of money. Well, maybe you're not as smart as you fucking thought you were.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, just it's an under... What's crazy is I think the tide is turning, mm-hmm. but it's always been by people with their nose up in the air, an undervalued position.
You want to talk about a trade that's going to get fucking rocked by AI. Why do we need a licensed real estate agent to sell a house?
What, dude?
Why can't there be something on the blockchain that says, I want to buy that house, figure out all the fucking paperwork automatically, automate that, figure out the title work automatically, automate that.
You don't.
And I should just be able to buy a house from you direct.
People do it all the time. They put their houses on Marketplace. They go over here to Stuart Title and they say, hey, I'm this person. This is this person. Mm-hmm. How much for the title work? It's $1,500 and your house is fucking sold.
Right.
You do not. The only validation I'll give real estate agents as in, they deserve to make some money. What they make is fucking insane right now.
Yeah.
Is that they can the good ones, this is a small percent, network enough, know the areas well enough that they know when they talk to a client, I know houses that they're going to like.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that portion of it, that salesmanship portion of it is valuable.
Yeah.
But you're right. 75% of them don't need to be real estate agents, and something else could fucking take their job.
71% of real estate agents didn't close on a home last year.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of guys that do, they'll sell one or two every 2 years.
Yeah.
Because it's not their primary
right
job. I right will say they should regulate that portion of it. Like, you should be required to sell X amount of houses before you have to before you have to either move brokerages or like some kind of proving ground or who something. Knows?
But you want to talk about an industry that's going to get rocked by AI. That's it.
Good.
Right. So anyway, so we put that post out there. It gets tons of traction.
Did the friend that you knew pay it? Or did the original one?
No, she told me she'd pay it. And I said, well, we'll take the post down when the bill's paid. And then she called us classless.
And then didn't pay.
And then didn't pay. Right?
Double down.
And so then later on that night, Danielle and I mean, this is like within 30 minutes before we're going to bed. She comes across a suggested post on her newsfeed that's of another real estate agent in this realty group that's trashing us.
Fantastic.
Not naming us, but trashing us. And let me see if I can find it, because she sent it to me.
Don't hire these people. They expect you to pay your bills. Like, what is that what the fucking post was or what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They expect to be paid for their services. What are you? Oh, my God.
Oh, see, that girl's blocked me now. Damn.
I don't understand.
Yeah, she's blocked me.
I don't understand. Actually, I do understand, but I just can't comprehend the mental part of it, I guess, about how people love this sort of drama and feed off of it.
Right.
I can't. You seem to love it. You seem to eat it up. Oh, dude, nothing makes me want to retire and move to the mountains more than social media.
Where, man, this girl posts a lot. I'm going to have to. One day. We got to go way back.
Dude, it was just 2 days ago.
This was Friday night.
Are they all real estate stuff? Buy this house. It's only worth $150, but I got listed for $279.
4 days ago, that would be Friday, right? I bet she deleted the post. She did. Yeah, she
deleted
it. Well,
just explain it to me.
So she, this other real estate agent had a post that says, it's come to my attention that one of the real estate agents in our group is being attacked by a tradesperson. And like, she was just basically saying that this tradesperson is, you know, saying untrue things about our agent and all this stuff. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, and then in Danielle's original post, another real estate agent got on there and was standing up for this woman too. And so I'm like,
birds of a feather.
I'm like, we got three real estate agents standing up for this crooked ass real estate agent that ain't paying a bill. But this crooked ass real estate agent hasn't even stood up for themselves, right? And meanwhile, they're getting slaughtered by all the other comments. And so Danielle saw it and was like, well, that's rather interesting. And she sent it to me. I saw it. And so I replied to the comments on it. Yeah, and I said, hey, if you seem to know this chick, can you get our $89 bill paid?
Yeah.
You know, we can't get a hold of her, right? She owes us $89.
I love it.
Overnight, middle of the night, Friday night, we got a call from the brokering owner of the brokerage group.
What's the middle of the night?
I don't know. It came in through our after hours messages.
Oh, so it could have been 6 or 7, something like that.
Could have been. Okay. I don't know.
When you say that, I think of 1 in the morning. Like, this guy's so
no,
bad.
It was after we went to bed. Like, I woke up to an email.
Oh, shit. So this guy had some drinks and was like, what the fuck is this? Who knows? I'll pay it. God damn it.
But he called in and got the answering service and said, you know, hey, I understand that my business was tagged in a post by your guys' company, something about we owe you money or something. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it. And the message we got said that, and it said the guy was really polite, which I knew it was going to be anything other than polite. And so I called the guy back on Saturday. Now, this is the owner of the brokerage. And he's like, hey, yeah, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this. So I'm glad, you know, we're talking business owner to business owner here. And I'm like, yeah, basically, you know, your girl owes us $89. She agreed to $89 over the phone. And he goes, well, actually, our buyer owes you $89. And I was like, no, we didn't talk to your buyer. We talked to her.
Yeah, she agreed to it.
She agreed to it. And however she's getting refunded, it doesn't matter. Like, she agreed to the 89. Well, has our buyer been presented with an invoice? I'm like, I don't even know your buyer's. I know your buyer's name. No. I don't have a phone number. I don't got nothing.
No, I presented the invoice to this girl that called in and set
up the
service.
She put herself
call.
In the go-between.
Yeah.
Therefore, she's the go-between for payment. And he goes, well, another thing, I don't really appreciate you tagging my business in this. I'm like, your business is on her business card. Like, she works for you. She's your employee. Well, yeah, but technically she's a 1099 subcontractor and my business has nothing to do with this.
Dude, that's fucking brokers, dude. They're getting money to do nothing but carry the insurance and the burden of having to deal with these people's mistakes. Guess what, bud? As a broker, that's your job to handle this type of fucking shit.
I said, hey, just, you know, just calling it like I see it here. If one of my plumbers flooded a house, do you think they're going to call my plumber or do you think they're going to call the company that the plumber works for?
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to care about whether he's W-4, W-2, 1099?
Yeah. Does it fucking matter?
Does it fucking matter? No.
No.
So they're going to call the company
and
get it handled. He goes, well, I didn't even get a phone call. I'm like, yeah, I didn't even have a number to call you. Like, she put herself so much in the middle of it. She became the bottleneck. All information was to go through her.
Yeah.
So if you have a problem with, where this should have happened is after we left her three messages and a text, all of which went unresponded, your employee should have forwarded that to you saying, hey, boss, one of my customers is upset. Can you handle it? But the fact that she didn't even tell you about this says she's hiding it from you. Anyway, I got into a debate with this dude about like how businesses should be ran. And I'm like, okay, I know you don't want to hear this, but there's a bad stereotype with real estate agents. And if you want to go see the comments on my post, you'll see it.
Yeah.
Tradespeople hate working for real estate agents.
And this is why.
And this is exactly why. He goes, well, we can give you guys a lot of work. And I'm like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
Look at this work you just gave me, right?
Yeah.
I'm having to jump through hoops for $89. I said, every work we do for a real estate agent is twice the work. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I got to sell it to the real estate agent. The real estate agent has to then play the telephone game and sell it to the customer. And then they usually have to sell it to two, a buyer and a seller.
Yeah.
And then it's all like it's this big, giant game of I'm trying to sell the service to five different fucking people. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I said, if you guys actually cared about your clients, you would give them a list of preferred vendors and say, oh, you need a deck? Call this person. Tell them I sent you. Oh, you need a roof? Call this person. You wouldn't say, let me call my roofer.
Yeah.
You just put them in charge. Anyway, the guy got very condescending and he started getting like very tongue in cheek with a lot of the stuff he was saying. And
I'm a real estate agent. And, I'm a smart motherfucker.
And he goes, and how,
bro,
like,
come on.
Like, when were you guys there? I said, we were there on Thursday. And you guys put us on blast the next day? I said, yeah, because payment is due upon completion of service. We were very clear about this. You need to have a credit card while we're standing there in the home.
Yeah.
We don't do terms.
She knew it.
If you guys are too broke to pay the bill, like you need to call a bank. We don't finance you. And he goes, sir, sometimes we work for customers for months without ever seeing a dime. And I'm like, cool. When my repair job is $500,000.
We'll talk about terms.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But we're talking $500. We're talking $89.
Yeah.
Right. And so then, of course, he argued his way all the way up until paying the bill because I told him, I'm like, she works for you. She's a representative of you. You may disagree that I tagged your brokerage in it, but ultimately
someone's paying this bill. Buddy.
Somebody's paying the bill. And he whips out his credit card and pays the bill. I have no doubt he'll probably dispute it. But then he tries to get off the phone and he was like, well, you know, I doubt we take anything that you've told me today because I told him, like, if you really cared about it, you would give the vendor's list and all that stuff. And I said, whether you want to believe this or not, I said, I'm actually kind of like a customer experience extraordinaire. Like, we have an amazing customer experience that we put our customers
talk
through.
About condescending.
Yeah. And and I said, there is room for you guys to improve this. And whether you take this advice or not,
I don't care.
But if it were me and I was running a brokerage and I really cared about making my client experience amazing, I would do things this way. You are equally just as important because you provided the list, you vetted the list. You may have a worked out discount or something, but if you remove yourself from the freaking telephone game and you let your buyer work directly with the contractor and get the fucking agent out of the middle of it, everybody is happier. The contractor's happier. The buyer is happier. The agent is happier.
Yeah.
Everyone wins. Oh, I don't know if we're going to take any of that advice, but we'll see. And
dude, could you imagine?
And then he got ultra condescending because he was like, you know, we real estate agents, we know a lot of real estate agents. And, you know, I'm not trying to say this is a threat, but when somebody asks what plumber to use, this is definitely going to weigh in on what I tell them. And I'm like, let me.
Good,
it
bro.
I said, it sounds like you're needing some clarity in that. I'll clear it up for you. Do not recommend us.
Yeah.
I don't want your recommendation. So if that helps you navigate that area,
yeah,
I'm happy to say no thank you.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, why? I'm like, because I already told you, it's double the work.
Did you not listen?
Yeah.
So were you not fucking paying attention to our conversation for the last 30 minutes?
So he pays the bill. Danielle takes the post down. No big deal, right? Bill's paid. But ultimately, we got what we wanted. We got the message out there to all those dirtbag fucking realtors. Don't call us.
Yeah.
And so then yesterday, I find out that real estate agent, the local one that's a friend of hers, she changed her 5-star review to a 1-star review. What's funny is she didn't even do it right. It still has like great community. Like there's like attributes you can put to a review. What parts of this were great? Communication was great. Pricing was great. Punctuality was great. All this stuff, but she changed it to a 1-star review.
What a fucking
and it
bitch.
Says something about like outrageous pricing, wanted to charge us thousands.
So you tell a blatant lie.
Yeah, and then
did you report it?
And then then it says flat on there, like if you don't pay your bills, they'll put you on blast on social media.
Leave it.
And I'm like, so let's get this straight here.
Did you just respond like, hey, okay, originally this was a 5-star review, blah 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 blah. This is what's happened. This girl did this, and yeah. If you don't pay your bills, we will put you on blast. Like how teed up do you want it?
Right.
Like, it's perfect.
Let me go to the reviews. I haven't checked to see if it's still there today. I'm assuming it is.
Dude, I quit working for real estate agents altogether. Now, I worked for them on their personal homes only. Like, if it was a home they owned, okay.
Right.
I'll work on it. I got burned by someone I have great respect for. He would call me and say, hey, we're trying to move this house, blah, blah, blah. We need a price on getting the furnace changed out. Sweet. This is a done deal.
Yep.
All they do with that was use the price to negotiate the sale price of the home. After about four of those, I realized what was going on. He calls me. He's like, hey, I need another price on blah, blah. I said, dude, I haven't done one fucking change out for you.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going over there. I said, I'm not fucking doing it.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I need a price. I said, $189. Oh, well, I thought it was free estimates. That's not for you.
Yeah.
I said, dude, I'm not wasting 3 hours of my time.
Yeah.
Writing this up, driving out there, getting back.
Yeah.
I said, oh, and from then on out, I only did work for real estate agents if it was their personal home only.
Yep.
I was out. I learned that lesson quick.
So I'll read a review.
Okay.
That's weird.
Well, the new review. The original review.
Yeah, the original review is gone, but she's modified it. And it says, overpriced $1,000 plus. Terrible business practice. Real estate agents, beware. If your client owes them money, they are not afraid to smear your name all over social media. Do not recommend. Okay, for one, the client never owed us money. The real estate agent did.
Yeah.
Right? But then, positive attributes. Responsiveness, punctuality, professionalism, value. It says toilet services was toilet installation and water heater repair. So she didn't amend the whole review. She just amended the star rating in the description.
What a fucking cunt.
So here's my reply. Bleep name with Harris Appraisals.
Oh, God, that jack off's an appraiser, too?
Well, this is the wife. The wife's the appraiser.
Oh, that's even worse.
So I said, when we worked for you 3 years ago, you left us a glowing 5-star review. Fast forward to this weekend, and one of your real estate agent friends tried to stiff our company on an $89 invoice. After multiple attempts to call and text your friend with no response back, we happily used social media to let others know that your friend doesn't pay their bills. Ironically, you never chastised your friend for not paying the bill. You just got mad because we pointed out that your friend doesn't pay her bills. We will agree with you on one part. Real estate agents, beware. If you try to stiff us on payment, we will make sure your potential clients know how you do business. It's wild how your friend is the one who didn't pay the bill, but yet you get upset at us for calling her out.
Yeah.
That's how I responded to the review.
But now it's up there forever.
And now it's up there forever.
Up there
under
forever.
Her appraisal business name.
Oh, that's even better.
Which I'm pretty sure she's folded up now. But probably just still has the email address that's tied to that.
I don't.
But anyway.
I just.
Here's how. So this has been like a long, crazy story, but this is a real thing. And so the whole purpose of this show is to like fail, allow you guys to fail faster or allow you guys to learn from our failure so you don't have to go through this. We immediately made a change in our company policy over the weekend.
No more real estate agents?
If a real estate agent calls in and they want to schedule work, it's an $89 service charge paid at booking, not when we arrive.
Oh, the George Diaz method.
They pay
I love it.
To book the call. And because what happens is real estate agents love to get contractors on the hook and everything. And then whenever it comes time to pay the bill, oh, I'm not paying that. My buyer's paying that and all of this crap, right?
Yeah. It's like, the rental landlord thing.
Yeah. And so this is going to be a deal of if you want to book a call with us, you're paying that $89 service charge
up
before
front.
We even plug your name into the computer.
I love it.
And then they're going to be like, well, I'm not paying that. My buyer's paying it. Well, then maybe your buyer should call us.
Yeah.
That's just is what it is.
A way to cut out the middleman on your own.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Another tip in this area, because another way that you can get fed up or caught up in this is when you're dealing with like offsite property owners, so like rental properties, they'll call you out to their property, the tenant's there, and you'll call them up and you'll say, okay, I'm here, it's gonna be $200 to fix the leak, and they say, cool, do it. You fix the leak, and now you call them back, and they don't answer their phone to pay. They were super available to authorize the work, but they're on a remote island on the northern tip of Alaska whenever it comes time to collect the bill.
Sorry, my phone just doesn't work. I'm in a bad spot. I'm in my office.
Yeah, I'm walking into a meeting. I'm walking into days of meetings. I'm driving.
Well, you're going to be late to that meeting, motherfucker.
Right.
Let's get the bill paid.
And so what we do in those cases is we call up the landlord and say, hey, it's going to be $200 to fix the leak plus the $89 service charge, $289. And they say, sweet, do it. And we're like, awesome. While we have you on the phone, let's go ahead and grab your credit card info and get it all paid because we're flat rate. We use the Tradewinds flat rate book. The price won't change.
The Tradewinds flat.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Shameless plug.
So the price won't change. And that way, we'll get this all squared away. And they'll be like, really? I got to pay before you do the work? Well, yeah, we find that, you know, a lot of times you guys are super available to authorize the work and never available to pay. And it's usually just a way that some guys use to get out of paying. And those guys will be like, oh, that's crazy. I can't believe guys treat you like that. Meanwhile, ever since we instituted that, we've never not been paid by a landlord, which means half the landlords that we tell that to are literally talking out both sides of their mouth. They're saying, I would never treat you guys like that, but they do treat people
like
that.
Well, the ones that would treat you like that are the ones that say, yeah, okay, here's my credit card number. Like, they don't question it. They say, yeah, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
And
so
done.
The high-level overview of this is we all have ideal clients. We all have people that we want to serve and then we don't want to serve. And when you get into a situation like that, recognize the pattern or the cycle that's feeding you these clients that you don't want and go break it off at the source. Okay?
Yeah.
There is a local Facebook group called, and what's funny is I've been kicked out of this group. So when I first got, started our company, I was getting a lot of work from a local Facebook group called the Bridge Real Estate Group. And basically it was a bunch of real estate investors and property managers and house flippers and all of this stuff. They were all in a Facebook group here in the Kansas City area. And contractors would jump in on the group because all these people, I need a new roof. I need a deck. I need trash hauled. I need paint. I need sheetrock. I need plumbing. And so I jumped into the group to grab some work. I very quickly realized that is not my ideal client, right? No. Whenever you hear the terms investor-friendly pricing and payment terms.
That means cheap, bitch.
That means I want it cheap, 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 and I don't want to pay until I close on the sale of the house. That's what that means. And so we very quickly realized that that's what that was. And so we had one client. We had a lot of people just say, no, I'm not paying you $89 to come out. Cool.
See ya.
Had another client kind of go south through this, where they agreed to the 89, then they tried to stiff us on the bill and all this stuff. And so I put them on blast in that group. And I got booted from the group.
I love it.
Which I was fine with.
I love it. Like, love everything about it.
This, I was hoping for this outcome. I did not want any more work from that group.
Yeah.
And so I put them on blast in that group. I was in the group long enough to see a couple of the comments. I get booted from the group. And then I've got friends that's still in the group. And this was for a month or two afterwards, where somebody would say, I need a plumber. And somebody would comment, do not call Smedley Plumbing. They charge crazy high rates and they don't have investor friendly terms. And you mean
that you're not some unlicensed, uninsured jack off with a fucking white pickup truck.
And so a friend would see that and screenshot it and send it to me and say, oh, they're bad mouthing you in that group. And I'm like, that ain't bad mouthing. That's the best advertising I can get. They're not going to call me. I don't want them to call
me. Yeah, you can't hurt my feelings.
Right. And so it was literally inside. Like a play just like that that we ran on this real estate agent. I knew. So this real estate agent that stiffed us on the bill, they happened to be the president of the Women's Council of Realtors for Kansas City.
Oh, shit.
They're connected. Perfect. Yeah. That is the perfect. I don't want Susie Q Homemaker, who got a real estate agent license last year and has never sold a house and doesn't know anybody, like, I'll send this message with that one, right?
Yeah.
And so we put her on blast, which now it starts to understand why so many people came out to her defense. Still doesn't make doesn't make sense on why the president would behave that way. But like, I knew this was going to go that route. And then you have all these agents saying, I'm not referring you anymore. Cool. I don't remember the last time you did refer us, right? This is me crying over all that work that I missed because the agent didn't refer me anymore. Woohoo.
Yeah.
The brokerage owner saying the same thing. Well, you know, we talk and blah, blah, blah. And let me clear that up for you. Do not recommend us. And if anything, actively don't recommend us.
Yeah.
Like, instead of keeping my business name out of your mouth, how about you say, don't call Smedley. Like, actively don't promote us.
Yeah. Help me.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, obviously not all real estate agents are like this. If you're in a good area and you're in a good real estate group and they're giving you a ton of work and you're getting paid, good for you guys. Keep rolling.
Yeah.
This is just another one of those things. If you're new in business, look out for it.
Overwhelming amounts of real, I'll say there are more shitty real estate agents out there than good ones.
Yeah, there are.
Way more shitty ones.
But realistically, this is just another nugget to tuck away.
Yep.
When a real estate agent calls you, you've got the knowledge to handle the situation.
Yeah.
How do I want it to go? Do I want to be paid up front? Do I not even charge a service rate, but now I realize, oh man, this could go badly. So for real estate agents, I'm getting a service charge up front.
If you're in a company that doesn't usually charge a service rate or a service call fee or whatever, but when a real estate agent calls you, absolutely. Because they already have the propensity to use you and abuse you for your services.
Yeah.
Just like what you were talking about. They'll use you for bids.
Oh, yeah.
Just to negotiate the price of a sale.
Man, and the problem is I love that guy, too. And after like the third one, I was like, dude.
Right.
Bro, I can't. I fucking stop.
Yeah. So like,
I'm out.
A very classic example, and this doesn't even have to do with plumbing. I'm a real estate agent. I'm trying to sell this house. Inspections say it needs a new roof. Now I'm calling roofers to get a price on a roof. Am I going to buy a roof? No. I am not going to buy a roof. An agent is not going to buy a roof. A seller is not going to buy a roof. A buyer is not going to buy a roof.
Insurance is buying a roof.
What's going to happen is they're going to say, a roof's 20 grand. Okay, cool. I'm asking 470 for the house. Okay, cool. Call it 450 for the house and I'll buy the roof as is. Okay, cool. And now all the contractors that wasted time putting a bid together just help that agent sell a house for 20 grand less.
Yeah.
That's all you did.
Yeah.
You will not see work from that agent.
And it cost that agent $500.
And it cost that agent nothing.
And it cost...
Because they got free estimates from everybody.
Well, their commission's
down. In the commission,
down.
Right. Yeah, their commission went down just a touch.
And it cost you $150 to have your guy go out there, get on the roof,
exactly.
Blah, blah, blah.
So that's how real estate agents use and abuse vendors. And their tongue-in-cheek way around it is they like to say, well, if the vendor's pricing is good, we'll use them. Well, problem is...
You mean free?
Yeah, you don't set the pricing, and what you determine as good pricing means we don't pay the bills, we can't pay our taxes, we close our doors. That's what that means.
Yeah.
So
I mean, in all fairness, that is capitalism 101. Like, get whatever you can get.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
24/7, 365. If you got to squish the guy down a little bit to make a buck,
yeah.
You know, I mean, is it always right? No.
But here's the thing. When you're working with real estate agents, you're not working with a buyer of your product.
No, I know.
You're working with a negotiator that has a bigger contract.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just that happens inside of capitalism 24/7, 365.
Oh, yeah.
It's just part of the game.
Yeah.
It's just part of the game.
Yep. So ultimately, that was my long-winded story for why to avoid real estate agents, but also it's a very real story for you guys to learn from. So put a plan in place for how you're going to handle real estate agents to keep from getting burned and to keep from getting used. Because getting burned and getting used are two totally different things. Getting burned, they're not paying the bill. You did the work. Getting used is they're just wasting your time for a number to help them sell a house. And they're not actually going to buy your product.
That's frustrating as shit.
Yeah. So next week is the show where we will be. Next week we will be at the Wet Show. And so show release stuff for next week may or may not happen. We're going to see.
No. That shit will be out on Friday.
All right. Dave says it'll be out on Friday.
There will be something out on Friday.
We will make something happen on Friday. We don't know what it'll be yet.
We don't know what it'll be, but something will be out on Friday.
It may be a live YouTube video that we crop the audio out of and post it as a podcast from the floor of the Wet Show.
It may be midnight on Friday.
Yeah, we'll see.
But that shit's going to be out on Friday.
Yeah. So
I will make it fucking happen, dog.
If this show added value, if it made you think about things in a different way, if you know somebody going through these struggles, please do us a favor and share this show with somebody who needs it. That's how this show grows. Also, our email addresses are in the descriptions of the show. If you guys have any questions for how to handle anything in business, do not hesitate to give us a call. We love to, or not give us a call, give us an email. We love to answer your questions. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
See you.